scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguila. Aguila left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get it going. It is Tuesday, July 9th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It's Steinberg along with you from our downtown studio, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And let's get things going on the Sports Drive. The Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property is secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Well, there's been a lot of talk recently about goaltenders and goaltending, and that's how we are going to kick off this hour. In fact, most of the hour going to be dedicated to Flames goaltending as we say hello for the final time before our summer hiatus to our goaltending guru. Kevin Woodley joins us now from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. This is our last week of Flames Talk before we go on a little bit of a hiatus. So going to kind of wrap everything up and look ahead to next season and everything we've seen this offseason with Kevin right now. Kevin, appreciate the time. How are we doing today?
Yeah, we're good. It's actually warmer here in Vancouver than it was when I was in Honolulu a couple of weeks ago. So I'm ready for that. Ready for a little sunshine. I'm ready for a little less rain. I'm ready for a little golf out here.
Yeah, we are scorching here in Calgary for the Calgary Stampede. So it's nice. That's good to hear that. Good to hear that things are good out there. And I wanted to dive in just kind of. Take a look at the totality of where the Flames are when it comes to their goaltending situation right now at the NHL level. Last week when we brought you on, we talked really extensively about the Devin Cooley signing, and now that makes kind of a trio of professional goaltenders, Devin Cooley with Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar, between them less than 100 NHL appearances. So we're not talking about the most experienced group that the Flames will be rolling with next season. When you take a look at this goaltending situation for the Flames, how do you look at it? What kind of stands out to you?
Well, it's probably the lack of experience and the questions that come with it, right? Like when you say not the most, I was trying to do it in the top of my head, and I probably should have done a little more math and spent a little more time looking at depth charts, but the least experienced in the NHL, I guess maybe Buffalo would be less with Ukko Pekka Luukkonen and Devin Levi, and high expectations there as well. And, you know, a lot of lines I could draw between Levi and Wolf in terms of success they've had at different levels and actually some of the stylistic things that they do as goaltenders, as well as obviously the size comparison, you know. But even in Buffalo, as much as there's no experience at the top two, where you have more of a, you know, a project in Cooley in the AHL in Calgary, the Sabres go out and spend $1 million on a one-way contract for James Reimer with the expectations he's still going to be their American Hockey League goaltender. So at least you have that insulation behind a young tandem. You don't have that in Calgary, or to the same degree experience-wise, at least. And, like, in some way, like, I look at the positive side of it, and that's really easy to do now through an optimistic lens. The season hasn't started.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look at, we talked about opportunity and the importance of finding opportunities for Dustin Wolf down the stretch this year. I thought they did a pretty decent job of doing that while still having Jacob Markstrom there. But those opportunities are going to be like immense this year. There's going to be plenty of them, and that's an opportunity for growth. And, you know, this is a young man who every time he's had such an opportunity at various levels, he's grabbed it with both hands and grown through it. So, you know, there will probably be ups and downs. That's just the reality of an experience in the toughest league in the world. And again, I don't know what the expectations are internally in terms of competing and winning, you know, with a tandem that has less experience than anyone else or in that, you know, bottom end of the league. But the potential for upside remains there. And like I said, even Vladar with, you know, not a ton of experience, certainly none as a clear-cut number one in the league, you know, he's shown at times, you know, that he can be a goaltender you can count on as well. especially if the environment's, a little more predictable.
Yeah.
And a little less frantic.
What, when we're talking about Dustin Wolf, and, he's one of the more exciting players in this organization, and Flames fans definitely are really excited to see how this plays out for him. When we're talking about the first season full-time in the NHL, presumably his first full season in the NHL, what's important to remember when talking about expectations, or what are fair expectations for a 22, 23-year-old playing in the league for the first time full-time?
It's a good question. I think a lot of the mentoring is going to have to come from the coaching staff. Like, that's sort of one of the questions I have. As much as it was fairly obvious that Jacob Markstrom was moving on, there would have been value in having him from a mentorship perspective. And we've seen that around the league. And I know a number of goalie coaches around the league that believe that's an important factor. You know, even if you look at Edmonton and Stuart Skinner, there's sort of two parts to that. There was the Mike Smith, as controversial a figure as he was, there's no question he took on more of a mentorship role with Skinner in his final year there. You can see it in some of the puck handling confidence that he brings to the table. And then, after that, I think Jack Campbell provided some insulation, right? Like, as much as Jack Campbell was a mistake contract-wise and one they had to get out from this year, I'm not sure in Jack's first year if Stuart Skinner had just come in with the expectations that he had this year, whether things would have gone as well. Like, it was easier to come in and have all the focus be on Jack Campbell and Jack Campbell answering all the questions about experience and expectations and just kind of slide under the radar. I don't know that Dustin Wolf gets the benefit of that. A, because he doesn't have that experienced veteran mentor number one with him in front of him to absorb it and to share and to sort of show what that's like. But two, I think the expectations are higher probably for Wolf, ironically, given where he was drafted compared to Skinner, but I would argue the expectations are higher in that market than they were in Edmonton. So that all feels like a lot from the outside, to be honest with you. And yet, like I said, at every level, he's risen to the occasion. As I sort of walked myself through that, I realized that's a big ask. And so tempering that with some of the ups and downs that inevitably come with an 82-game season, I think will be important for Flames fans.
Yeah, and as you said last week, this thing is never linear, right? Like, especially for young goaltenders, the development path is typically anything but linear.
Yeah, I mean, and doubly so young guys, and that's what makes it a little unique, right? Like, what are the expectations for games played? Eventually, or essentially because there isn't a guy who's established there that is a 55-game guy, because there is so much opening and opportunity, and that's a positive, I don't think we have these answers, and ultimately performance will probably dictate some of it. But performance can't just be measured in wins and losses, especially if, as we would expect based on roster and what we saw down the stretch last year, if they loosen up defensively, right? So everything, honestly, I think there's never going to be a more important year for, us to check in on a regular basis with some of the ClearSight analytics that I have access to so that we can say, hey, that four spot, well, it should have been six. And I hope that's not the case for the Flames and for the fan base out there. But if that's what it turns into, it's going to be really important to contextualize what's going on the ice relative to the goaltending performance and understand, how those two things sort of coexist.
Well, and then on top of all of that, there's the whole idea of what Dan Vladar is going to be. Now, you have talked extensively before about how important the surgery that he had in March is for pretty much every goaltender and most goaltenders. It's kind of turning into one of those surgeries that almost needs to happen. But for Dan and his recovery, what are expectations for him as he comes back after not playing since March and now having a totally repaired hip?
Well, I would expect, again, that they should be tempered for the first couple of months of the season. And I would point actually as an example, and everybody's different. Everybody's recovery timeline and process and how they feel is different. I know some guys that come out of it pretty quickly, relative to the significance of the surgery and feel better. Like, you know, like I said, it has, for young goalies even, you know, we found as young as 12 and 13 become a boutique surgery almost in terms of widening the butterfly, removing some of the impingements that can exist, you know, within the joint and some of the limitations and injuries that that ultimately leads to through the groin. So some guys come back and they feel like it's like, it's almost like having the oil changed on their hips. Everything feels like it moves better. But in Corposalo's case, even with that, as good as he felt, and this is not me, don't worry, don't panic. I'm not comparing him to Ottawa Senators Corposalo. I'm comparing him to the year before in Columbus, where it took a couple months for him to get used to that new range of motion and be comfortable with what his body could do. And it was around early December where he really, really started to take off. And even though the numbers didn't jump off the page publicly until he was traded to LA and he got behind that environment, and that ultimately led to the big contract in Ottawa, the underlying numbers, the analytics from ClearSight, from December up until the trade deadline and that move in Columbus were also very flattering. And so it can take a little bit. It can take 6 to 8 weeks, even if you feel good physically, to get used to sort of that new and different range of motion and to trust it, to trust that you can get into positions that maybe you couldn't get into comfortably for the past couple of years. We saw it with Laurent Brossoit in Vegas as well. Like, it just takes a little while. So I think, again, this sounds like a warning for the early months of the season, but again, patience early on, because it is a process for him coming off that injury, not so much recovery, but just getting used to a body that functions in a way it wasn't before the surgery.
So in a lot of ways, just overall, it could be a learning process and process period for the Flames at the position with Wolf, with Vladar, Devin Cooley learning a new team, new system, all that type of stuff. Process might be one of the words we're using through October and November.
Yeah, and the upside, though, is I was pretty critical of where they were in the defensive metrics, you know, sort of through the trade deadline, through the All-Star break. I talked a lot about, you know, how Jacob Markstrom would have been my Vezina Trophy pick around the All-Star break, like, because his numbers jumped off the chart, because in part the environment was so tough on the goaltenders and he was outperforming it by such a significant margin, right? Almost like the Jordan Binnington comparison. Like, Binnington should have been in the Vezina conversation because of what he did relative to such a tough environment. Sort of after that, as much as we talked about Markstrom's numbers creating around and after the deadline and with all the moves that came, the defensive metrics actually started to pick up and they started to get better and they started to look more like a team when I watched them in person, that was on the same page with a system that, you know, I probably didn't give enough, not credit, but like pay enough attention to how many changes they were asked to make as a group and understand the growing, we talk about growing pains with the goalies this year, maybe understand the growing pains as a team they would go through all getting on the same page and adjusting to a new coaching staff. I always thought the Daryl Sutter DNA would be maintained in terms of knowing how important it is to do the right things defensively, but there were a lot of big asks in terms of adjustments. And I thought that, you know, again, the live viewings and the underlying numbers painted a picture of a team that was getting better and more on the same page defensively as the year went on. And if they can continue that heading into this season, then, you know, that makes that adjustment for both these goaltenders and potentially all three of these goaltenders that much easier out of the gate. You know, like, if they're not being asked to stop bullets in their teeth or make Superman saves left, right, and center.
Kevin Woodley's with us, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He is our goaltending guru, joins us here on Flames Talk on this Tuesday. So that's the Flames side of things and kind of the big picture look at the Flames as they move into a new season with a brand new goaltending situation. It'll be Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar and Devin Cooley as the three kind of in the NHL conversation throughout the year. Want to shift gears for a little bit and still somewhat related or could be somewhat related to the Flames, because you had a little bit of a scoop earlier this week and a little bit of a change in Edmonton. They have said goodbye to their AHL goalie coach, which ends up being a little bit more significant than it sounds. Why don't you fill us in on what's going on there, Kevin?
Well, I mean, the announcement, I mean, I'd heard during the second round that there was a change coming. Wasn't sure, you know, on what side it was initiated. I was a little bit surprised by it. But with Sylvain Rodrigue moving on after years in Edmonton as the American Hockey League goalie coach and development coach, sort of found out that it looks like, ironically, given the way the playoffs finished, he's moved into the Panthers organization or will be moving into the Panthers organization in a similar role. And the goalie coach that was sort of occupying that space before will move more into development and scouting, and that's Leo Luongo, younger brother of Roberto. And before anybody asks, no, he does not have the position just because he's Roberto's little brother. He's a really, really good goalie coach that has been a finalist for NHL jobs in the past in other organizations. So the Panthers' commitment to flushing out a goaltending department even further continues to grow. So I thought that was really interesting. And in Edmonton, it means there's a vacancy and a job that needs filled. And so, you know, when I compare that, when I look around the league and I see like the Flames being one of the teams that was ahead of the curve in terms of having this department and having, you know, Jordan Sigalette there in a director of goaltending capacity, one of the first ones to do it. Like, what a benefit that is because of the synergies it creates top to bottom. Like, when I talked about, you know, Jason LaBarbera with all the experience he has as a goalie and a coach, and then Mackenzie Skapski with that experience, and now all the years that Jordan Sigalette's been in the role, you know, both as a goalie coach and now a director, you can create sort of a top to bottom plan. And in Edmonton, I think at times it's felt like the two parts were disconnected. And so this becomes an important hire for them. And I'm curious, I genuinely don't know. You know, obviously I would assume the goalie coach, Dustin Schwartz, who has done a really nice job with Stuart Skinner. And you know, I believe had a voice in drafting Stuart because I was at the Hockey Canada Program of Excellence where those two were on the ice together and seemed to start building that relationship right ahead of the draft where they picked him. I would hope he has a strong voice in this. And that some of the disconnect that seemed to exist where both were sort of just working on their own thing as opposed to sort of having, you know, a similar thought process.
Right.
And working together, like there's value in that. And so you hope that continues. And even once they get that in place, even if there is that synergy, I would argue they're behind because they don't have a director of goaltending, someone to direct that and work on that. And then I look at the Flames who are ahead of the Oilers in that department. And then I compare that to what we just saw from the Panthers, what we know the Los Angeles Kings have been doing now for a full year. What I understand the Detroit Red Wings will be doing this summer as well as they build out theirs. We're now seeing teams add beyond just having three, maybe having a fourth in scouting, but now another person working in the ECHL, roving, moving around to touch base with prospects who are maybe in Europe as the season goes on, in the NCAA, in the WHL, communicating with them and their goalie coaches to make sure that development path is on the right path. And the one part I think that is important there, and Edmonton, you know, would be a prime example of this, because of the contracts they've got committed, you would think that, you know, a Connor Unger, who they signed out of U Sports this past year, is probably going to start in the East Coast Hockey League. And not to single them out, because this is increasingly happening. Young prospects, whether it's college free agent signings or, you know, later round draft picks, more and more and more, because you need three or four NHL-capable goaltenders in the American Hockey League, there's no place for the youngest kids. So the ECHL has become that first point of professional hockey for so many of these guys. And yet, for most organizations, it's also the point that has no coaching support. So at a time when they're making the biggest transition, and every goalie will tell you junior to pro is a much bigger transition than AHL to NHL. Like, I've heard it consistently for, you know, decades now. It's a massive change, a massive jump. And for a lot of these kids, it's the place where they get the least support. They're on their own trying to figure out. And I think for years, we've seen a lot of guys wash out because of it. I mean, even look at the Red Wings, who, you know, from what I understand, will be providing that support moving forward with a hire. Sebastian Costa started there. that's a first round pick that started in the ECHL. And at that level, they do have a development goalie coach who can go down and work with him. But having more dedicated resources to that level is going to increase your odds of making sure that you have a guy that can grow with your system. And again, that synergy. The Vancouver Canucks don't have a third person as director of goaltending. Ian Clark, the goalie coach in the NHL, has that title.
Okay.
But he also works with the American Hockey League goalie coach. They have different coaching styles, but they coach the exact same things technically and tactically. They're different people, different sort of, people skills. But what they teach on the ice is the exact same thing. He's got a manual that the scouts use when it comes to drafting goaltenders. So when they draft goaltenders, they have the attributes that he wants to coach. And that's how you get an Artur Shelov, as a late round pick with limited experience, who all of a sudden looks like he can be a National Hockey League goaltender. And to make the direct sort of comparison, I think Casey DeSmith got the short end of the stick in that National series. But at the end of the day, Artur Shelov gets him to the second round. And if you don't have those synergies, if you don't put the resources into finding and helping develop a guy like that, I mean, what's that position cost to hire? $100,000 for an extra person? And what did Artur Shelov get the Vancouver Canucks by getting into the second round? Conservative estimate, $38 to $40 million in gate revenue.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be shared around the league. So, we still see short-sightedness around the league a lot, I find, when it comes to this position. Teams are just now starting to add directors like Calgary has. They're just now starting to add scouts, just now trying to create those synergies from top to bottom within an organization. And I think I could make the argument quite easily that if you commit to it more fully, you will reap the rewards, and I can find plenty of examples of it happening.
So the next frontier might be that ECHL goaltending coach then, hey? That seems like just the next natural step.
Yeah, and sometimes, and listen, I get that, resources aren't infinite. So you can find other ways. Like, I know one organization where, because quite often those are affiliations, but they operate independently where the NHL team doesn't own it like they would an American Hockey League team. So split the freight or have them part-time so they're at least down there some time of the year. And then in that other time, like I said, they go visit a kid in the Dub or the Q that they've drafted, or a kid in Europe that they've drafted, or a kid in college that they've drafted, or you spend that extra time scouting to make sure you find the next kid. Like, it doesn't mean you need to have a goalie coach full-time, on the ice every time they step on the ice in the ECHL. There is value to these kids sort of learning how to manage their own game to some degree, and sort of not feeling like they need to have a coach holding their hand with everything they do. But to give them no support at that level, as so many teams have for the last number of years, it's just never made much sense to me. And I think it's why a lot of guys end up washing out early down there without really ever getting a chance to get their feet sort of underneath them.
Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. Just two more and kind of picking up on that. The two teams that, I think you would point to and say the top rivals of the Calgary Flames, Vancouver and Edmonton. Goaltending situations change, but not dramatically in the offseason. Vancouver says goodbye to Casey DeSmith, and so we assume Thatcher Demko, Artur Shelov will be the tandem next year. And in Edmonton, they buy out Jack Campbell, and he moves on. And so Pickard and Skinner will be the presumed goaltending tandem for next year. How should Canucks fans, how should Oilers fans be feeling about their tandems going into this season?
Well, I think everything in Vancouver sort of situates around Thatcher Demko and his health. There seemed to be some questions, and Patrick Alvin was asked after the July 1st signings directly, and the answer, somewhat indirectly, I think a lot of people read between the lines. I'm not sure. I don't have enough information to say one way or another. But a lot of the talk, what I've heard is he'll be ready for training camp, but nobody's sort of willing to talk about what the process likes between now and then.
Right.
Some questions about whether a procedure might be required. I don't have the answer, but certainly there's smoke there in terms of those questions being asked and answered in a sort of roundabout fashion. At the end of the day, they expect him ready for training camp, and that I believe to be true. But the reality is, until you've done it, you haven't done it. And that means being a number one goaltender. And in Thatcher Demko's case, he's proven he can be a number one goaltender, but he's yet to make it through an entire season healthy as a number one goaltender. So a lot of focus there, a lot of question marks about whether there's enough experience behind him with Artur Seelovs and the signing of Yuri Patera, who they see NHL upside in and think with a couple of months in their system, they can tighten some things in his game and get him to that level should they need him to play games for them. And I think Seelovs gave them, you know, I don't know that you're counting on him if you need to throw him in as a number one for long term. He's going to need some support in that role. But obviously the perfect world scenario is he's just a backup this year. Edmonton, more of the same, right? You're rolling it back. Jack Campbell's gone. You save money on the cap that way. You bring in Colin Dealey as a three, which isn't going to push anyone. You're kind of all in on Stuart Skinner, who, you know, gets you to Game 7 of Cup Final in just his second year in the NHL. That's impressive. And you saw the growth mindset throughout. I think he'll come back. There are some things he added to his game when he added Adam Francilli as a trainer in mid-November that I think will become a little more instinctual and innate and a little finer-tuned with a full summer of him and Adam working up in Kelowna. Of course, Adam, the trainer that works with, you know, Connor Hellebuck, Laurent Bressois, James Reimer, about a dozen NHL goaltenders, and now Stuart Skinner and Thatcher Demko are on that list. I think the things that Adam does work really well with the coaching that Dustin Schwartz does as well. They kind of go hand in hand. So I expect him to keep growing, and he'll have to because, Calvin Pickard is a great story as the backup. But much like Vancouver, I think there would be questions if you needed more of him. Not saying he can't do it, but there'd be questions and they'd be fair, and you didn't exactly get an NHL vet for your number three spot. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a lot of status quo, and with it, and I think that's probably the uncertainty of the position right now in both cases, I think you feel good about it going in, but there are questions lurking around the corner if anything were to go sideways. The one thing I don't think Stuart Skinner gets enough credit for, durability has not been an issue for him to this point in his career.
Great stuff as always, Kevin. All year long, we've really appreciated the chats. Obviously, we'll reconvene and reconnect as we move towards the coming season. But as we go on a little bit of a hiatus after this week, I wanted to make sure we got you on one more time, and just wanted to say thank you for everything all year long. It's been a pleasure having you on for the last number of months. Looking forward to doing it again this coming season. Always insightful, always educational, and we really appreciate it. Have a great summer, hey?
Yeah, Pat, really appreciate being part of the program this year. Excited for next year, and enjoy the time off. It's much deserved.
Thank you, man. You have a great summer. Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kevin Woodley. He is our goalie guru. Joins us once a week on Flames Talk in Goal Magazine. Go check out if you are a goalie nerd, if you are somebody who just doesn't know anything about the position, like me. I mean, honestly, how many of us actually do know anything about the position? Go to ingoalmag.com. Check him out there. Check Kevin Woodley out on Twitter at KevinIsInGoal. And also check out his work at NHL.com. Kevin Woodley all year long. Join us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Celebrate the summer soccer spectacle from around the world and cheer on your favorite country on the big screens at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This hour rolls on a Tuesday at Steinberg along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio. Your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair. Talking goaltending this hour at 960. Want to read you some text because that's going to be kind of the last part of this hour. We had Kevin Woodley on from In Goal Magazine and first chunk of that conversation was talking about this Flames goaltending situation and what it's going to look like next year. Friends, I can't remember the last time Calgary's goaltending situation felt quite like this and quite as unknown as this. I mean, even when they had Kari Ramo and Jonas Hiller a decade ago, you didn't feel completely like this thing is, like you had a pretty good idea as to how it was going to look. You know, you didn't know how good it was going to be, but you knew what Jonas Hiller was. You knew ish what Kari Rama was. You know, when Brian Elliott was here, you knew what he was all about. You kind of had a good idea of Brian Elliott and Chad Johnson that year. When Mike Smith was here, you knew what Smith and Riddick was going to look like for the most part. And, you know, there was always that controversy. I don't know if controversy is the right word, but, you know, you always had the conversation. Maybe with Pinder, it was a controversy. But you always had that conversation of should it be more Smith? Should it be more Riddick? But again, you had a pretty good idea or grasp of what the goaltending was going to look like. And then obviously the last 3-4 seasons with Jacob Markstrom, you've had a really good idea. So it's been a long time. Like, we're going back to the Joey McDonald years, the Reto Berra years of when Flames goaltending. That's more than a decade ago. When Flames goaltending has felt this, I don't want to say unsettled, but this unknown or uncertain. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I really don't. I think that this is exactly what a team starting a retool, rebuild, revamp, restructure, whatever word you want to use. If you don't like one word, use another one. There's a bunch of words that you can use to fit the bill here. But I think having kind of a ground floor goaltending situation makes a lot of sense too, because the Flames aren't going into this season with expectations that they're going to go deep in the playoffs. They're not going into this season with the idea that everything is focused just on this year. Craig Conroy has talked at length and very publicly about how this is a 3-5 year plan. And in this 3-5 year plan, that might mean a few years where they miss the playoffs. And while they're not ever going to go out and say our goal is to miss the playoffs, and certainly Ryan Huska and this coaching staff or Craig Conroy and this management group, they're never going to go out and give that edict to the players. They still want the team to play to its utmost potential. But part of the way that they're building this roster means that it's going to be more difficult, even if they do that, to compete with some of the better teams in the NHL and to be a postseason team when it's all said and done. And so as that's going on, having a goaltending situation that is building from the ground up and really starting to learn what it's going to be all about, I think that's a really exciting part of this new direction the Flames have undertaken. And Dustin Wolf is the guy that I think, or I know, that most are or that the people are excited most about, or that most people are excited most about. But Dan Vladar remains a fascinating conversation, because what he did 2 seasons ago as Jacob Markstrom's backup wasn't by fluke, wasn't just a guy with no ability. And we also know that for a significant amount of this past season, and who knows how much longer, Dan's been playing with a hip ailment that he's now gotten fixed. So at some point, that's going to be back to 100%, whether it's October, November, December, January, whenever, sometime in the near future, that's going to be back to 100%. And so what if Dan Vladar returns closer to the form that we saw 2 years ago? And then, of course, there's Devin Cooley, who we've talked about. You know, we spoke with Jordan Sigalette. We've spoken with Kevin Woodley about how there's a lot of excitement and a lot of potential when it comes to this goaltender. I'm really interested to see how it plays itself out and who establishes themselves. And as we've said so many times about Dustin Wolf, all this guy does is seize opportunities to their utmost when he has the opportunity. And for the first time, he's going to have that opportunity at the highest level. He's done it in the Western Hockey League. He's done it in the American Hockey League. And he's shown signs that he has the capability to do it at the NHL level. And now for Dustin, it's time to see if that's going to be the case. And maybe it doesn't happen right away. Maybe this season isn't the year that it's seized and you just, oh, well, that's clearly the answer. It isn't a linear thing, as Kevin pointed out earlier this hour. But can he be the guy to seize that opportunity again? And can he do it at the highest level? Anyway, let's dive in on the text line at 960-960. Curious as to how you're feeling about Flames goaltending going into this season and knowing what this season is going to be all about. And starting with this one that says, I'm fine with the tandem. It's all about getting reps. And I think that that's the case for all three of these guys. And there's no guarantee that Wolf and Vladar stay healthy all year, because that is part of being a professional goaltender as well, which means there could be opportunities for Cooley. And who knows, maybe Wolf shows that he isn't ready for the NHL and he needs some time in the American League. Remember, Dustin Wolf remains waiver exempt. So that might open up a little bit of an opportunity for Cooley, or injuries happen, so on and so forth. This one reads from Ted in Edmonton. The Flames goalie situation is perfect for next year. Very excited to see who steps up. Love Kevin Woodley, by the way. And it could very well be a situation. You know, you go back to the Ramo years with Ramo and Hiller. There were times, or even Elliott and Johnson, right? There were times when it just would all of a sudden turn. You'd be like, they go to... Say Brian Elliott has a rough two or three outings. They go to Chad Johnson. Johnson plays well. Then he goes back, plays well again. And then all of a sudden, Chad Johnson is on a run of starting four or five in a row. So that is always something that needs to be taken into account. And with this goaltending situation, for sure, I think it's going to be a really interesting... I'm curious how Jordan Sigalette and Jason LaBarbera structure it this year with Wolf and Vladar, and how they get Dustin his reps, and how they also ride the hot hand, and how they balance results and needing to win games with the development that's going to be really important as well. Jim says, absolutely comfortable with the goaltending future. This reads, Pat, although I fully embrace having three inexperienced goalies competing with each other for game starts, some Flames fans can be most brutal and unkind. I hope the three goalies have the mental fortitude to withstand the negative criticism that's bound to come their way. I will say, you don't get to the NHL, especially in that position, without being able to filter out some of the negative noise. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, for all three of these guys, and Cooley would be the one with the least experience in it, but now in a Canadian market for a Canadian NHL team at that position, yeah, there's going to be some increased attention. There's going to be some increased skepticism, and it's a larger, hotter spotlight. There's no doubt about that. And the one thing I am comfortable, or one thing, not the one thing, but one thing I am comfortable about, is at least with a lot of the fans who listen to this program and who listen to Flames Talk postgame and who listen to this family of podcasts and this radio station, it feels like because there's been a clamoring for so long to have this rebuild, to go in this new direction, that, you know, some of the growing pains, some of the lumps, some of the difficulties that go along with going in a new direction, it feels like people are going to be accepting of that and almost embrace that. It's something that Wes said last week. It's not just accepting what goes along, some of the negative parts of retooling, right? It's not just about accepting them all. It's almost about embracing that they are part of the process, because they are. You know, having goaltending be a work in progress, and having goaltending maybe have a year or two where it struggles a little bit, that's part of the process in building up what these guys are going to be. And the same is true when it comes to younger players on this team. And the same is true with getting and stockpiling more high draft picks. Let's not forget that if the Flames have a top 10 pick this year, they keep it and they don't transfer it to Montreal. If they don't have a top 10 pick, if they finish like 12th or 13th from the bottom, then that pick goes to Montreal and Florida's pick doesn't transfer. So that, I think, needs to be, I don't think that you game plan specifically for that, but, and that needs to be taken into account as well. This says the goalies need 25, 25, and 22. If this works, every goalie should get a raise on their next contract. That comes from Jim. So it'd be 25 starts for, say, Wolf and Vladar, 22 for Cooley. And I'm not sure if it splits out exactly like that, because I still think there needs to be an opportunity that opens up, whether it be via injury or just performance-wise. I think you need to have that door open for a guy like Cooley to get something like 22 starts. But I do think it's important that Wolf gets his reps. Like, I, 35 seems like, without injury, kind of the bare minimum of where I'd like to see Dustin this year, if not more. But 35 seems like that should be the bare minimum, if you ask me. I don't know. I don't know if you'll be able to do 25, 25, and 22 with the three of them, but they definitely need their reps. There's zero doubt about that. This reads, Vancouver and Montreal are historically brutal on goalies, but man, are Flames fans ever fickle when it comes to who's in net. Hopefully they can see that this is just the path for now. That comes from Sarah in YYC, our favorite Canucks fan. And I again, I'm not as worried about fickleness or being hard on goalies. I do think there's an understanding and I do think that there's an embracing of what this process is going to be all about. Patrick in Hanson Ranch says, Pat, if the goalies are bad, that's good. If the goalies are good, that's great. Good way of putting it. That's part of the kind of, I don't know, the get out of jail free card. When you're cheering for a team that is going through a little bit of an organizational change. And finally, this reads, love the direction this team is going. They're building a window for 3 to 5 years out. Perfect time to find out what they have in net. And Mike in Calgary says, I agree, Pat. People are tired of missing the playoffs and getting terrible draft choices. Not that I wish them bad luck, but their goaltenders need reps even when they struggle. That comes from Mike in Calgary. Appreciate the text at 960, 960. Really wanted to focus this hour on goaltending. The only hour we're doing on Flames Talk on this Tuesday. We, a little bit of a shorter window on this Tuesday, but lots more Flames Talk as the week goes along. However, this is our final week of Flames Talk before we hit our summer hiatus. We'll be off for, about 4 weeks, 4 weeks-ish. When it's all said and done, that's when we hit our summer hiatus and back sometime in August with Flames Talk here on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get them. That'll start to wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. Thanks to Zach and thanks to Cam, our producers this hour. Cam making sure everything worked smoothly. We all even had a few technical difficulties that Cam just rolled with the punches on, so appreciate that as well. This hour has been the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.